Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Death Stuff.
Death Stuff.
Death Stuff.
Death Stuff.
We had a bit of a break over the Christmas period, but we are back with some thrilling and depraved tales of ancient Greece and ancient Egypt.
We had a breakdown over Christmas.
I think everyone had a fucking breakdown over Christmas, to be honest.
I just break danced.
Now that I would like to see.
Oh no, I actually did, didn't I? I broke my wrist.
Oh shit, I forgot about that.
Yeah, many thrills and spills have happened since last time we spoke. Because me and Bonnie don't actually speak unless we do a podcast.
Unless we have to, because we hate each other.
Contractually, we are obliged to speak now. But my wrist is fine. Thanks for asking.
That's good. Yeah, sorry, I completely forgot about that. Whatever. Are your ribs broken as well? Is that a thing?
No.
Or just bruised?
I sneezed one day. I fell quite dramatically and I hurt my ribs. And then one day I sneezed and I thought I was going to die. So I went to hospital. And they were like, no, just go home.
You're just a drama queen.
Yeah. You just need a hug. And we can't give you that, so leave.
Aw, that's sad.
Aw, no.
Poor baby.
Yes.
So before we jump into today's episode, I thought we'd just kind of catch up and see if there's any true crime docs that we've watched recently, which I know we have. So Mika, is there anything that you'd like to recommend to the listeners?
Well, recently, I have been quite enjoying all of the 24-hour versions of series that are out there. So we have 24 Hours in Police Custody, which is a good one. But there was also that show Murder 24/7. Basically, they're both around the same idea of the first 24 hours being the most vital time in order to gather evidence in the event of a murder or suspicious death. Did you watch that drama about the serial killer with David Tennant? Completely lost the name of it.
Oh, was that on Netflix or
it was on the television. Oh, that's gonna really bug me now. Something called Den or Ted or something.
I know which
like
one
that.
You mean, but I can't remember what it's called. No. But that reminds me of another one that I watched last week.
Dez. It was called Dez.
Oh, maybe I haven't seen that then. But I have heard of it. But I just watched one called I've forgotten what it's called. The Pembroke or Penthenbrook.
Oh, the Pembrokeshire Murders.
Yeah, that's it. And it's got Luke
How
Evans
did you find
in
it?
Who we, well, me and Mika's husband adore. It was really good. It's basically a story about a real serial killer who was caught because he stupidly went on a TV show and like a game show, and the police used that as evidence to kind of trace back what he looked like at the time, and he actually matched the police mock-ups of the image
of
this guy.
Oh, that's actually brilliant.
Yeah, it's really good. It's quite slow-paced is not the word, but it's a bit droll and a bit miserable, but I guess any program about serial killers is like a dramatization of the true story, but it's really, really good.
Yeah, they kind of have to be, they kind of can't be too cheery, I suppose, because we watched the White Farm murder or something like that. That was in Essex in late 80s or early 90s, and it was 6 episodes. They were, like you say, not slow is the wrong word, but
it was depressing.
Like going to a disco. Is Luke Evans the murderer? Because I mean,
no, he's the detective, the police officer, and he's got
I would let him
a lovely
inspect me.
I think we all would. He's gay, so I can say that without being worried about
what
my boyfriend
is. Is Luke Evans gay?
Yeah, he's gay.
I had no idea.
Well, now you've got your in, haven't you?
Bye, Dan.
Also, he just broke up with his boyfriend, but he does now live in Australia. So good luck.
So you're
with
saying
that.
He's available? So the show, Murder 24/7 was brilliant. It was like 6 episodes, but there were a few different stories in that. And I think our favourite one was the tale about the... Sorry, the laughter was so inappropriate. However, if you come away from the story for a minute, it was very crass almost about a man who went into an old people's home and threw his mum out of the fire escape
Yeah. I mean, I almost feel like we should do an episode about him just because it's such a crazy story.
If you've not seen it, it's fucked.
Probably, it's really fucked.
Yeah, it's mad. It's really mad.
But my favorite bit, if you can say that about these kind of things, was, which we wouldn't be able to convey on a podcast, but they shot the inside of his actual house and it was like a crazy time warp.
It really was, I mean, like
70s kitchen with a clothesline hanging across the room, and it was just they hadn't
got any of the mod cons, had they? They had all of their appliances were really old. It was like you could really see that something was wrong with their relationship and that they were very insular. He wanted to put her out of her misery in a dignified way by throwing her in a bin.
Off of a balcony.
And also, it wasn't really done in a caring way. It was very...
Because there's CCTV footage of him just kind of flinging her. So he sneaks into the old people's home, and there's CCTV footage of him picking her body up and her... She's alive at that point, obviously, and then throwing her off of a balcony on these kind of like back steps of the building. It's just, it's bizarre. It's horrible.
It's quite sad. It's obviously very sad.
Yeah. But then you get to see the police interviews and stuff, which is really interesting. And maybe we shouldn't do a podcast about it because we've just basically explained it in about 3 minutes. So
yeah, shall we spoil it? No, let's not spoil it. We should talk about it another time in greater detail and maybe do the voices.
God.
No, that's inappropriate.
You can do the voices. Okay.
I just really wanted to take care of my mummy.
Oh my God, that's really creepy. Never do
Moving
that again.
Moving on. By the way, there may be character enactments in my performance later.
How exciting. I look forward to that. Another program that I just wanted to quickly mention that I won't go into too much detail because everybody knows this story is Night Stalker on Netflix. It's the story of Richard Ramirez, and it's quite a descriptive and detailed tale of the events.
This is the thing in LA, isn't it, where he goes into people's bedrooms and shoots them, right?
Yeah, so I've obviously heard of this story a lot, and a lot of podcasts have done this story. So I don't think it's something that we'll ever do just because it's been done so many times. And
we do have a vested interest being Marilyn Manson fans. Twiggy Ramirez obviously was the combination of 60s icon Twiggy and Richard Ramirez. Unfortunately, Twiggy's a rapist though, isn't he? So...
Well, yeah, I've heard that. Allegedly. Jessica from Jack of Jill apparently has made allegations about him. I don't think anything's ever been proven, but I adore Jessica and I actually worked for her once, so I'm inclined to believe what she says.
Maybe we will cut this part out.
Well, no, do you know what?
For legal reasons.
Fuck it. It's fine. Just don't rape people and then maybe people won't talk about it on podcasts.
That's true.
Right, so would you like to start or do you want me to go first? Or
I think that my story is a two-parter but of the same part. So why don't you go first?
Okay.
Or, yeah, you go first. Okay. Come on, ladies first.
Before I start, I want to give credit to my sources. So the first main one really was Wikipedia, which is where I found the bones to a lot of these stories. So thanks, Wikipedia and the users that update it. And also a thank you to a Reddit user called on_Icarus, who was the inspiration for this story when I found a post that they had made when I was Googling, and I quote, fucked up myths. And I also referred to a website called pronouncenames.com to help me with the names.
Such a good egg.
Well, I'm definitely an egg, but anyway.
Well, no comment.
So this is a romantic tale from Greek mythology that will warm your heart and your loins/penis, depending on your etymology.
Mine are very hot already.
My penis is always hot.
Fried.
Jesus Christ. Our story begins with Zeus. Zeus was the god of sky, lightning, and thunder in ancient Greek religion and legends. He was the ruler of all gods on Mount Olympus. And you may have seen Zeus depicted in a striding pose brandishing a lightning bolt.
Or in my head, who's the underwater one? Ariel's dad.
Yeah, I know who you mean, and that's instantly came to mind, but that's not
so
the same person.
So handsome.
Really?
Trident me daddy.
Okay.
What a good pun that was.
That's made me feel sick. So, Zeus is the sixth child of Cronos and Rhea. They are the king and the queen of the Titans. So, for a bit of backstory, there's a really interesting tale about Zeus and his relationship with his father Cronos. Cronos was the lord of the harvest. He was the leader and the youngest of the first generation of Titans. The Titans were the divine descendants of Uranus, the sky, and Gaia, who was the personification of the mother of all life.
What a wonderful family that sounds like.
I know, right? It puts us normal folk to shame. But anyway. You may have seen paintings of Cronos. He's often depicted as a large and scary looking man devouring babies.
Sounds a lot like, yeah, well, me.
So you identify with this?
I identify as a Cronos. Give me that baby!
The reason for this being that in a bid to destroy a prophecy about his own children overthrowing him as he did his own father, he ate them. So he actually just ate his own kids.
Which is really unfair, because if that's what he did to his own dad, like, it's the circle of life, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess, you know, once you've... Guilty people always have a... They're kind of prone to paranoia, right? So he knew that karma was going to come around and bite him in the arse.
Bite him whole.
So where are we? So that was five kids that he ate. However, when his sixth child was born, the mother of his children, Rhea, consulted Gaia, who... Again, just as a reminder, is the mother of all life and Cronus's mother, on how to save the five children he had eaten and preserve the life of the sixth. So Rhea went into hiding and she had the sixth baby in secret. And that baby was none other than our main character today, Zeus. So Rhea then had to go back to Cronos because obviously she was pregnant this whole time and he's like, where's my baby? and she actually tricked him by handing him a blanket that was wrapped around a stone and she presented that as the child, which he then swallowed instantly, believing that it was indeed his son. Whilst, you know, he's eaten this sun slash stone or whatever, Zeus is actually off somewhere else being raised in secret by nymphs and goats or goats, depending on which version of the story you come across.
We haven't had enough movies made of this, have we really?
I can't think of any, but I'm sure they exist.
We need more. We need more ancient mythology turned into cinema. Please.
Maybe we should make one. You can be Zeus and I'll be Cronos.
Just with found objects in our houses.
I mean, I can find a rock and a blanket quite easily.
Mine's so quite easy because it's Egyptian, so cats and, you know.
Excellent. That's our future.
Okay, look, watch project. This space, as everyone says.
Some people say that Zeus spent his childhood suspended on a rope from a tree, so that he was not on earth, nor the sea, or the sky, as these places were all ruled by his father Cronos, and from the tree his presence was undetectable. Which to me doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, because
he's still He's in the earth and in the sky, right?
Yeah, he's literally in the air if he's suspended from a tree.
So basically any person that's not stood directly on the earth can be hidden.
So if you can levitate by about 3 inches, you will be fine.
Yeah, or just stand in your house, which I'm sure they had houses, right?
Well, I think they might have lived in like caves and stuff. Actually, no, they had castles and stuff like that because I have read...
So you're in the second story. You're now invisible to this all-powerful god.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense in their world.
Well, that's fine. Okay.
Really picking it apart.
Really annoyed.
Ancient story.
Stupid green.
So once Zeus was grown up, he had hatched a plan with his grandmother, Gaia, who gave him the force... No.
Gave him the force.
Gave him the power to force his father to involuntarily vomit. So I don't know what power it was. I didn't look into it a whole bunch, but from what I read, this is a magical power.
You could do
power that
with... No, but you could do that with the force. You just, you know, put your hand out and go...
Is that a sound the force makes? I'm not a fan of Star Wars, sorry. So
excuse me? All right, I'm leaving, bye.
I can't stand it. I can't bloody stand it. No. Because of my ex-boyfriend who was completely obsessed with it and had it everywhere in our fucking house. It was so
annoying.
I'm
not your ex-boyfriend, sorry.
I know, but you wish you were.
Well, this is very divisive. Fans and listeners, just to let you know, I'm a huge Star Wars nerd. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just not into it. But anyway, I guess the payoff is that, you know, you've never listened to a podcast, whereas I have. So maybe that's the kind of...
I thought you were going to say that I've never had sex or something then.
I mean, haven't you?
The payoff is that you're a virgin. So. No one has to have that.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So anyway, where were we? Talking about vomiting. So yeah, Kronos is then forced to vomit up all of his children, including the rock that he ate. But then once the children were set free, his children, who for context are all gods as well, because obviously their father...
Of course, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
So then there was a great war between Kronos and his children, which eventually ended with Kronos being overthrown. And that's how Zeus became, you know, the all-powerful guy that everybody knows, Zeus. So that was part one of our story.
Okay. Turbulent childhood.
Yeah, I feel a bit sorry for him. Yeah. I mean, also, what kind of life is it growing up in, like, a basket in a tree?
I don't know. A lot of babies throughout history have had that, though, haven't they?
There's like who?
Moses. Mowgli.
That's a good one, actually.
Babies in trees. Well, if you think of any, let us know, listeners.
If you grew up in a tree, let us know.
Are you an ancient Greek god looking for love?
Well, we've got a really fine, young, supple virgin called Mika, apparently, who's never had sex.
Young?
That's a lie.
Supple? Virgin maybe, but I am not supple, madam.
Sorry, I've missold you.
Like an old used dishcloth.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Right, so that was part one of the story. So moving on, this was the main story that, again, just to mention the Reddit user who had kind of inspired this. He'd written a very abbreviated version of the story, which made me laugh hysterically. So hopefully this will make you laugh too. So Zeus was known as a bit of a Lothario. He had a wife, consort, and had affairs with various women and subsequently had many children. Some of them you may have heard of. Hermes, Persephone, Athena, and Apollo, to name a few. I'm sure you've heard of those, Mika, or some of them.
Yeah, all of them, actually.
Good.
I think that's a great name as well. Lots of good names. Persephone is a good name, isn't it?
I love that. I actually had I had a friend who was in a band and she was a dancer and that was her, like, stage name, which I thought was really fucking cool.
That's a good
cool
one. Persephone, darling!
Darling. So, if you know much about Greek mythology, then... you know, as I've mentioned, Zeus is a bit of a Lothario, and he was famous for his sexual escapades, which bring us to today's story, which is called The Seduction of Semele. Semele? I thought it was Semele this entire time I was researching, but it's not. Semele. It's Semele. Semele.
Okay, cool.
Now, as this story dates back to ancient Greece, there are several iterations, and I'm sure that the story has changed over time. One of the main reasons being etymology through the ages. As we know, words and their meanings have changed over time. So as time has progressed, we have a better understanding of words and their use throughout history. We often hear of things being mistranslated, but with time comes knowledge, which is why we may have heard this particular story in a few different ways. Also, I am not a historian or a professional researcher in any capacity, so if there are any inaccuracies, then soz about it.
We're still using, you know, that's actually really interesting. We're still using the Bible that was translated however many, you know, decades ago.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of people use that literature as, you know.
Literal.
Yeah. And even though, yeah, so it's a very interesting thing, etymology.
Yeah, it is. But I won't go into it too much because...
We don't know anything.
Exactly. And I don't want to expose myself for just how fucking stupid I am. Anyway. Pardon me.
Etymology.
So the story goes that Semele was a mortal woman and she was a priestess of Zeus. So one day Zeus was just flying around in the form of an eagle, as you do.
As you do. I would love to just wake up one day and go, you know what?
Just I'm fancy feeling, being an eagle today.
Yeah, I'm feeling good, guys. I'm going to be an eagle.
I'm just going to, like, soar around the place.
Yeah, just, like, soar. Look at me,
oh, my
soar.
God. Are you sore?
Yeah, you look like you're sore. Really flapping about.
This is making me sore. So yeah, he's just flying around like an eagle, as you do. And as he's doing this, he's looking down to earth and he sees Semele sacrificing a bull at his altar. So Semele then goes to swim into the river Asopus. And don't laugh at that,
no,
because I can see your face.
Asopus.
Astopus.
I do not recommend that.
No, I think that's a bacterial infection waiting to happen.
It's like the end of Requiem for a Dream.
Oh God, don't. That film gives me trauma.
Astapus. Anyway, so they're in the river Astapus, which sounds dirty. Then,
yeah, so she's in the river having a little swim and cleansing herself of the blood because she's just literally cut open a bull to sacrifice to Zeus. So in that moment, Zeus in his eagle form is looking down and thinking, damn, that girl is fit. And he then proceeds to fall in love with her. I mean, if somebody sacrificed a bull for me and was then covered in blood and just like bopping around in a river. Yeah, that's hot. So yeah,
it's like the final girl out of any film, isn't it? When they're all like, they've come to the end of their tether, they're covered in blood and mud and they're like,
like, what's that Megan Fox film? Jennifer's Body.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh my God.
The only Megan Fox film I know is Transformers, and I mean, that was the pits.
That shit. That's awful.
Yeah.
Also, Michael Bay made her do like really weirdly sexual stuff in those films when she was like 16 or something.
Yeah.
So fuck Michael Bay. But I probably shouldn't say that because I actually worked on one of those films.
Well, yeah, okay, that's fine.
But I don't care because I didn't write it and I was a lowly VFX coordinator at the time. Anyways, so yeah, he sees her, he falls in love with her, and then he begins to visit her in secret because Zeus is already married because he's a fucking waste man. he's married to a goddess called Hera. I think that's how you actually pronounce it. Sorry if it's not, but I'm trying. So... as mentioned, Zeus is flying around being a fucking weird lurker of the sky in the form of an eagle. Mm-hmm. And I'm unsure if these visits of his where he's actually striking up this love affair with her if he is continuing to stay in the form of an eagle this entire time.
But I see, yeah.
From what I have gathered from my research, he does, and I will explain why. Right. So, yeah, well, she's just shagging an eagle, basically.
A bird, yeah. I mean, I've not seen many eagles' penises. I don't know. So, yeah.
Don't they, like...
We should have researched this, really.
I mean, this wasn't going to be part of my story, but if we want to talk about eagles fucking, then I'm not your guy, but... anyway, I'm not going to comment because...
Answers on a postcard, please.
Yeah, I think they
How does that look?
You know, like chickens, don't they put jizz on each other's, like, bum...
The feathers?
I don't know. Let's just stop this. It's getting very horrible. And I don't know if it's completely not true. So, anyway. So, boo-bidi-boop-boop-boo. Where are we?
Zeus is flying about as an eagle.
So, yeah.
For honeys.
And then they're... He's found his honey, he's having his affair, he's shagging her, making eagle love. Oh my God, that just reminded me of that episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Birds of War. Ah, you know that one? I can sing the whole song, but I won't. Anyway, moving on. So, this affair goes on for some time, and Semele falls pregnant. Because, you know, I don't think they had condoms, and do eagles have condoms? Do eagles have dicks? I don't know. We've been over this.
There were some very horrible condoms in history, which makes me now think that's an episode in itself.
Oh my God. Yes. That sounds amazing.
Sexual, you know.
Contraception.
Objects throughout the ages.
That could be.
Yeah. Anything's a dildo if you try hard enough. So that's coming up.
Mika knows from experience. So Zeus's wife Hera then finds out that her stupid bloody husband is having an affair. So she decides to disguise herself as an old crone to befriend Semele. So for those that don't know, a crone is like a kind of witchy elderly lady figure, and I think through history a lot of people have kind of painted that as a really undesirable character, but actually in terms of like the occult and witchcraft, a crone is not an undesirable, unattractive woman. It's like a very wise, admired person. But anyway, that's a bit of shinfo for you on the side there. So she befriends Semele, and Semele is fooled by this disguise, and she soon confides in Hera that her lover is Zeus. And as we know, evidently, because Hera is married to Zeus, she has an ulterior motive. So she's up to something very tricksy and wants to seek revenge. So she pretends... Oh, shit, girl. So she... She pretends not to believe Semele, even though she knows that the identity of this man is indeed her bastard husband, Zeus. So in doing this, she's planting a seed of doubt in Semele's mind, saying, oh, you know, I don't believe you. Like, really, really? You'd know if it was Zeus. So if Zeus is indeed who he says he is, why has Semele never seen him in his true form? And surely Zeus would want to make love to Semele in his true form.
Yeah, not an eagle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, as I mentioned earlier, there are varying versions of the story.
Just tell the funnest one.
Yeah, so that's exactly what I was going to say. I'm telling the one that made me laugh.
Do things here.
Exactly. Give us a bit of artistic license. yeah. So, because of this, Semele's like bugging out. And she then approaches her lover, Zeus, telling him of the doubts that she's having. He's really eager to do anything for his beloved. So he swears on the river Styx that he will do anything to prove that he is who he says he is. And he is a god. And he is Zeus. Then Semele asks Zeus to make love to her in his true form to prove his divinity. He tries to tell her this is not a good idea, and he wants to prove his identity to her in other ways. He tries to show her the smallest of his bolts, And he thinks this is evidence enough that he's a god.
Sorry, a small of his smallest of his what?
His bolts, like his lightning bolts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because if you remember...
these are my bolts.
These are just my bolts, just got them hanging around.
Just my lightning that I've got over there.
So he shows the bolts and she's like, what is this? Like, come on,
she's
dude.
She's like, yeah. Don't be a dick. Get a bolt.
Yeah, I mean, especially if it's one of his smallest bolts, like, at least show me something tangible.
I've got thunder, like, whatever.
Exactly. You're a god. Not interested. Just show me what you've got. So she wants what she wants. She's been manipulated so much by Hera that she's so full of doubt. And she's wondering, has this lover betrayed her? Is he just some random dude pretending to be a god? And is she now pregnant with, like, some random eagle's
fuckboy
egg? Whatever. She really, really wants to see for herself. She insists that he makes love to her in his true form. As Zeus has already sworn upon the river Styx, this is like an unbreakable kind of oath, and he now has no choice. He cannot break his promise and he must comply. Zeus reluctantly begins to make love to Semele and then turns into his divine and godly form. As Semele is just a mere mortal, she is unaware that she is unable to look on a god in their true form. And thus, she quite literally explodes from the sheer intensity of it all.
Oh, shit, guy. That sounds good.
But what I don't get is why Zeus couldn't just tell her with words, do you know that mortals can't look upon gods? And then this whole thing could have been avoided.
Why did she have to have sex with an eagle so much and then decide?
Because she's a freak.
Like she's like, wait. You're saying this eagle isn't a god? It took her a while to, like...
To question kind of... it.
Yeah.
Just, like, I think... laying in a fucking river one day and an eagle comes down and starts banging her. And she's like, yeah, this is
she's
it.
She's like, wow, this is a good day. Also, like, the way she died is not bad, right? Like...
I mean,
it's a good way to go, I guess.
I don't know if she was enjoying it much, but she literally exploded, and that's not really a way that I want to go out. But
I've seen that website.
Anyway,
exploding Semele. No, I might have that. That's something else.
Oh Jesus Christ!
Oh, Jesus Christ!
Anyway.
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, what a lovely romantic story.
Oh, there's a little bit more.
Okay.
Yeah. Remember that I said Semele was pregnant?
Yeah. Oh.
Zeus somehow manages to find the fetus among all of this exploded flesh or whatever of his lover and pulls it out of her womb. And then he sews the fetus into his thigh to rescue it. Some people say, however... that in Greek mythology, the thigh was often a euphemism for the word penis.
Oh.
It was not his leg, but his penis. He sewed the fetus into his dick.
An easy mistake to make, I'm sure, if you are a god.
Well, he did that on purpose because that was how he kind of would keep the fetus alive and then produce a child. And this child went on to be Dionysus, the god of fertility and wine.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Another bad upbringing, you know, like your mum's died, but...
Might as well drink some wine.
He's made some good of it, hasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. And just to quickly round up that story, just as a little tidbit of information, when Dionysus grows up, he then goes on to rescue his mother, Semele, from Hades, and she then became...
So she went to hell?
She did, and I'm not sure why, but anyway. And then she became the goddess of Mount Olympus. And she took a new name, which I didn't know how to pronounce at all, because there were three different versions. Theone. Theone?
Okay.
Something like that.
Theone, Theone.
She was Beyonce.
She was Beyonce. We do not deserve her.
Yeah, that was my story for you.
That was a wonderful, very colourful tale. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I mean, there aren't many babies that have been born of just the penis, I guess.
Just the penis.
Did he have to give birth via yes, penis?
I would imagine Ooh. So.
These are the things I'm interested in.
Well, I'll look into that for the next episode.
Well, would you like me to tell you a story?
Yes, please, Mummy.
My story, I've just entitled... Oh, wait, I should give a bit of pre... I'll tell you what I'm even talking about. So I'm going back to ancient Egyptians, even Ooh. Farther back. But there do seem to be a lot of similarities between the Egyptian and the Greek gods. I think that throughout history, you know, usurpers and things like that have tended to overwrite history in their own way. Catholicism. Anyway, so I have titled this The Missing Penis.
Oh.
No, it's not a story about me.
You took the joke right out of my fucking mouth.
There's a joke in that as well, I'm sure. So be warned, parts of this twisted tale do get quite graphic. Mm. Are you ready?
I'm ready, bitch.
You seem to have done a lot more like careful research, whereas I've not done quite that much, but...
That's fine.
You know, I'm ignorant.
That's ignorant.
I'm ignorant. right, we're going back to the ancient Egyptians, and this is a story between Set and Osiris, who were brothers. So Osiris, he had green skin, and he was the god of agriculture, teaching people how to sow corn and make wine and beer. And other such things. So he's quite a dude, really. Like, he's green.
I like that he's got green skin. That's cool.
Yeah.
Green giant.
Exactly. Just imagine that then. That's Osiris, okay? Like, in his corn onesie.
Cool. Into it.
And then we have Set, his brother, who is not as cool. Set could also be called Seth. He is the god of deserts, not desserts.
That would be storms. Way better, though.
Yeah, he's not. He's like the opposite of god of deserts. God of deserts, storms, disorder, and violence. We don't really like Set, although I don't know if that's just because he's been like given a bad rep through history because of some of the things that follow in my next tale. More will be expanded on in a moment. Anyway, so Osiris... marries or, you know, just is in love with Isis, who I think is also his sister. However, you know, that's fine, apparently. Isis also happens to be Set's sister. So it's very, like, incestuous, this whole situation. Yeah. So Osiris and Isis have a couple of babies together. And they rule over Egypt and everyone's having a lovely time, except... that Set is very jealous of this, like, setup. So he decides to kill his brother, Osiris. He does this by inviting Osiris round for a banquet and playing Get in the Coffin. So they play Get in the Coffin and Osiris gets in and then they just put it, like, they, like, cover the coffin in stone so he can't get out. Yeah, it seems really stupid.
This is a great idea, though. I'm sorry, but it's giving me what? Ideas.
Anyway. How to kill someone?
Yeah, come over for this really fun game. It's like Pass the Parcel, but not.
It's called Jump on This Knife. Isis flees the wife / sister. She's terrified. I think she's also pregnant. Or had a baby. I'll get into that in a bit.
Okay.
So she's run away. Set then cuts Osiris, his brother, into 14 pieces. As you do. He throws the body parts into the Nile River. You know, as you do.
Why not?
To disperse of him. I think it's one of those where, you know, if you're incomplete, you can't come back together.
Or can't go... I think that was one of the torture methods, actually, wasn't it? Ling Chi, was it Ling Chi, I think?
Something like that, maybe. Yes, yeah.
Where the bodies...
Where you disperse.
Yeah, you're just... you're separated so that in the afterlife you can't sort of transcend to the heavens or whatever. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. bunch of jealous bitches, if you ask me. Anyway, so in the river, the phallus of Osiris is eaten by a fish.
Okay.
So, I mean, obviously the softest part is just nibbled right up by eager fishes. So, okay, right. This is all happening back in Egypt. Anyway, Isis, the wife, she's like desperately looking for her husband. Mm. And she goes on a mission to collect all of his pieces. Because, you know, that's something that I would feel strongly about doing, I guess. So she unfortunately can never find the phallus because it's been eaten. However, she does find the remaining 13 pieces of her husband.
Mm-hmm.
So what she does with that, as any normal sane woman widow would do, she makes a mummy in order to bring Osiris back to life. Because that's, you know, that's
the kind of shit you did in ancient Egypt.
Yeah. Yeah. However, she is missing that all important 14th piece.
That big old dick.
That dick. That D. So, being a woman, you know, she has urges.
Oh, God.
And as I hinted at before, anything's a dildo if you try hard enough. In this case, it seems that it was her thumb. So she cuts off her own thumb to represent the phallus.
I'm looking at my thumb now, and it's not very big, but...
Yeah, well, you know, maybe godly things happened. Some other versions say that she made a golden phallus. So, you know, I'm either or, really.
Mm. I like the thumb version. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Gives anyway, a new meaning to the phrase thumb it in.
Oh, literally thumb it. That's where the phrase came from, I'm sure.
Yes, and that is your lesson on etymology today.
Thumbing it in. Ah, the ancient Egyptian practice. Anyway, so as clearly the ancients like to do, Isis turns into a kite as a the type of bird, not a Mary Poppins kite. Although when I was reading it, she was just a kite that like people had to fly around and like that. So Isis turns into a bird, and she uses magical powers of herself and Thoth, who is the god of time and wisdom. They perform a black rite spell, black rite sex, basically. Sex magic. The name of my first album.
Are you in the Red Hot Chili Peppers? Because I'm pretty sure that was the name of their album.
Oh. Yes, I am. So anyway, they're having this crazy black rite sex spell in order to revive Osiris. During this crazy sex, time stops and it's all magical. And the seed of Osiris is passed into Isis. So he's managed to, you know, do it, basically. Osiris then re-dies and goes into the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
So that's him.
So
done.
He came back for the sex party and then he's gone again.
Yeah. Okay. And as I was reading this, this is actually the inspiration behind Jesus's resurrection. Bearing in mind that all of these tales take place millennia before, not millennia, well, whatever thousands is. I think that's, no, it's not. I don't know. Anyway, 2,000 years before Jesus. So there are bound to be some similarities. Anyway, Isis then gives birth to Horus. To a chorus for Horus. Which is also the inspiration for the virgin birth of the Virgin Mother Mary.
Did not know that.
Yeah, I mean, Catholicism really has literally
just
stolen everything from pagans and ancient Egyptians and things like that. So you will see many, many similarities, which is interesting. When I went to Rome, actually, it was they actually don't really even deny it.
Really?
They display all the like statues of different like sun gods and things like that, and phalluses of phalluses. Sorry,
Mika's phallus.
Phalluses on the brain.
Phalluses.
Phallus.
He's really gyrating as he's saying phallus, by the way.
You know what a phallus is? Anyway, so we've got a new baby here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the penis was found. They had lovely sex and gave birth. In theme with this myth, pharaohs, the actual pharaohs, the living pharaohs of the time, began to be buried in mummified form with erect phalluses. So to emulate the resurrection of Osiris, so the mummy of King Tut, 1300, I guess that's BC, was famously found with an erect phallus.
I did not know that.
Neither did I.
When I was younger, I used to be quite obsessed with ancient Egypt, but obviously years of alcohol abuse has riddled my brain.
But I don't know if as a young person this is really discussed.
No, I was going to say, but that's one of the things that, you know, you probably didn't read in like horrible histories, whatever it was.
I like the idea of finding like this like resplendent mummy. And he's
with
He's got a boner. And that smile, like in Death Becomes Her, when they find the guy in the bath. He's frozen in a fit of ecstasy. Got one last laugh. So that is that story. Anyway, moving on.
Have you got a prop there? What's that? I don't know what's happening.
Can you tell what I'm eating?
Mika is eating a piece of rolled up lettuce and he's doing ASMR for you right now. What's going on?
Lettuce. Lettuce, finish this piece. I would like you to just lay back and listen to me consuming lettuce.
I have no idea what's going on right now.
Have you ever just eaten lettuce?
It's really
boring. So lettuce was actually known as an aphrodisiac, which is partly why I'm consuming it now.
He's getting ready for me.
For the next part. Lettuce, weirdly, was an aphrodisiac, and I think it's because of this story. However, back in Egyptian times, the lettuce they consumed, when you cut into it, would secrete a creamy liquid.
That's disgusting.
I know. Now, there was a creamy liquid just secreted then, but it wasn't coming out of my lettuce.
Goodbye.
So, we have... on one hand, we have Set... the murdering brother.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have Horus, his nephew. Horus's father is dead. His mother is alive. Okay. So Horus was the guardian of the kingdom of Egypt and the father of the pharaohs. This story is called The Contendings of Horus and Seth, or Set. It dates back to the early Middle Kingdom, which was 2040 to 1674 BC. So a very long time ago indeed. Actually, as long ago as we are now AD, if that makes sense.
I don't know what you mean, but so I'm sure that makes sense to someone with two brain cells to knock together.
It's almost equidistant to the date of Jesus' birth in time, but in reverse. Okay. Yeah.
Look at you.
Time is long.
Look at you with your dates and your maths.
I've got so many interesting things about time, but anyway, that's for another time. So Horus and Set were locked in an 80-year dispute as to whom should rule Egypt. There was a lot of dull stuff, such as appealing to judges and, you know, discussions and such forth.
So on and such forth.
Oh, you know. Anyway, let's get to the bum sex, shall we?
Let's get to the secreting lettuce.
The secretions, yes. shall I read in this voice only now?
Yes, please.
Okay, no, I can't. So Set decided as a trial of power that the first competition's feat of strength would be to both turn into hippopotami and sit at the bottom of the Nile. The first to come up for air would lose. Clearly, okay. You know, the hippo that can survive the longest was clearly going to be the ruler of Egypt. So they were partaking of this game. Isis, the mother, desperately wanted her son to be pharaoh. So she magically creates a copper harpoon, which she throws into the water, but accidentally hits her son, Horus, instead of Set. So, like, that's a really big mistake, okay? She pulls it out of him and casts it back into the water, trying to get Set. But her brother Set is like, please, can you just let me have this one, sis? Like, you've been a dick my whole life. So she's somehow caved in and then trying to help Set kill her son. It's all very confusing. Anyway, Horus emerges from the water and seeing what's going on and feeling very betrayed, he instead of continuing in their competition, he cuts his mum's head off. And he carries his mum's head up to a mountain and throws it away. So yeah, that's kind of mean. Yeah. Fear not though, because Thoth finds her head and sticks it back on, and we're all good.
Because apparently in ancient Egypt, if you glue the parts back together...
Yeah,
then...
there was a time where she had a cow's head. I think she's depicted as having a cow's head.
I was going to say that sounds familiar.
Yeah, but I think now she has her normal head. Anyway, let us move on. So Horus... he's tired because he's had a big fight as a hippo and then he's killed his mum by decapitating her. So he goes to sleep on the mountainside, or the mountaintop even. Set, seeing this, sneaks upon him and gouges out his eyes, and then buries them in the ground, which then grow into lotuses, because, of course...
That's pretty cool, though.
Yes. He gets gazelle milk poured onto his eyes and his eyes come back. So we're all good. Everyone's back to normal, okay? So after all this commotion and, like, fighting and craziness, the judges of who should rule, they really want the two gods, the uncle and the nephew, to reconcile and, you know, just let's get on with the real stuff, guys. So they did reconcile, but the wily Set decided to seduce his nephew.
What?
Well, I guess it's all fair game back then, isn't it?
That's gross.
So this is a direct translation. I think it's slightly adapted for modern times, however. So I'll begin. Now afterward, at evening time... bed was prepared for them, being Horus and Set, and they both lay down. Should I do this in ASMR? But during the... Wait, how do you whisper?
Yeah,
I'm just going to speak.
You're just so used to shouting.
It's true. I'm just going to speak
obnoxious.
Very slowly in my sexiest voice.
Okay.
So the uncle and nephew are in bed
that
together.
Sounds wonderful.
Let's begin. Let us begin. Set caused his phallus to become stiff and inserted it between Horus's thighs. Then Horus placed his hands between his thighs and received Set's semen. So basically he's so basically
that went from naught
Set
to nasty.
He's raping or making love, it's disputed, to his nephew. However, Horus is basically, I guess, pretending and is in fact holding the penis with his hands. Anyway, okay, moving on. Horus went to tell his mother Isis,
okay,
help me, Isis, my mother,
come and see what Seth has done to me. And he opened his hands and let her see Seth's semen.
Look, mummy. Anyway, I know, it gets even better.
She let out a loud shriek. I can't do this voice anymore. She let out a loud shriek, seized the copper knife, cut off his hands. Then she fetched some fragrant ointment and applied it to Horace's phallus. So she's got ointment for her son's phallus now. She caused
Wait, did she? Yeah. Whose hands did she cut off?
She cut off her son's hands.
That's what I thought, yeah.
So okay. He can't now use his own hands, but she's got her own hands.
Okay.
So, yeah. So she fetched some fragrant ointment and applied it to Horace's phallus. She caused it to become stiff and inserted it into a pot, and he caused his semen to flow down into it.
So she's basically wanking her child.
I mean, this is horrid.
Yeah.
And trust you to have fucking come up with this story.
Isis, the mom, then tossed Seth's semen, this is the rapist uncle's semen, into the marshes of the Nile and devised a plan. So at the morning time, she went carrying her child's semen to the garden of Set, I guess in his house. She said to her Set's gardener, what sort of vegetable is it that Set eats here in your company? The gardener said, he doesn't eat any vegetable here in my company except lettuce.
ASMR is happening right now.
Set returned according to his daily habit and ate the lettuce, which probably sounded like this.
Lettuce is so horrible on its own. So
it's just like crispy water.
So, oh, I missed out a massively important bit. Before Set returns and eats his lettuce, Isis, the mother, adds the semen of Horus onto his lettuce.
Mm.
So she's gone. She's
is
taken
that what you were
child...
just eating?
Yeah. She's taken her child's semen and rubbed it on a lettuce, which then
as
her brother slash whatever eats. Thereupon, he became pregnant with the semen of Horus. So
he's like a seahorse.
Yeah, he's now pregnant with his nephew's semen because he ate it on a lettuce. Basically, they then go to the gods or the judges, and Set's like, I've got something to tell you guys. I raped my nephew last night, so I am clearly the one to rule. As a show of dominance. However, Horus speaks up and goes, actually, that's not what happened at all. Let Set's semen be summoned that we may see from where it answers, and my own be summoned that we may see from where it answers. So Thoth, the god of time and magics and all things, puts his hands on Horus by all rights. We should see semen in Horus if what Set says is true.
Mm.
He says, come out, you semen of Set. and it answers him. Instead, from the marsh along the Nile, where it had been dumped. So clearly Set's lied here or been very mistaken. The god Thoth then puts his hand on Set's shoulders and says, come out, you semen of Horus. And it comes out of Seth's stomach. So they're all like, whoa, what's happened here?
What have you been eating, bruv?
You've got it wrong. Here's an interesting part that comes next. Deeming itself too important to flow out of Seth's ear, the divine seed emerged from his head in the form of a golden solar disc. Thoth then snatches it away and places it as a crown upon his own head. I like that the semen's like, I'm really important.
I'm a golden disc, bitch.
I got the golden ticket. And
So basically, that was really humiliating for Set because his semen was in a marsh, not inside his nephew. So clearly that's the embarrassing part of that. Fight's gone for 80 years and eventually it is decided that, in fact, Horus is the rightful heir to Egypt and Set is just left to his own devices. And that's my story.
That was fucking fire.
Sexy. I think it was sexy more than anything.
That was amazing. Thank you so much for bringing that horrible story to the table.
It's You've changed very my odd, life. Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. It's, yeah, I definitely learnt a lot. I can say that.
I don't think that I would have ever thought of such things happening in ancient Egypt.
I knew that they were like sexually depraved or whatever, but not...
Well, not depraved, more like free. Unless we're talking about, yeah, like... The uncle raping his nephew, I suppose that's yeah, not that's, ideal.
That's kind of what I meant.
Yeah, oh, right, okay, yeah, that makes sense, really, I suppose, then. So, yeah, I think the lettuce was, like, widely celebrated as a very potent aphrodisiac.
I mean, I can think of other food... Well, I don't find food arousing, but if I was to list them in order of arousingness, then... I don't think lettuce would be up there. Like, it would be chocolate or, like, deep-fried cheese or something.
Mm. Or both together.
Oh, my God, don't.
Have you ever had a deep-fried chocolate bar?
No, but it's a thing up north, isn't it?
Yeah, I've not had that either.
I've had a deep-fried Oreo, which was actually really, really good.
That sounds good. What, in a batter?
Yeah, it was like a kind of donut-y batter, and then it has... icing sugar on top of it.
Oh, yeah.
Sexy.
Maybe we should do an episode where we just eat deep fried chocolate really seductively.
I mean, I think we might lose all of our listeners at that point. But...
Beefcake!
Speaking of our listeners, I had a look earlier and noticed that we have now had... 1,000 different people listen to our podcast, which is
thank you very much.
Awesome. Yeah, thank
awesome.
You so much.
Yeah, that's really cool, and we are having a great time doing this. It's very fun to speak with my best friend about important topics such as
semen salad.
Semen salad. That sounds like a sea shanty waiting to happen.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed with that sea shanty right now.
The guy, the four lads sea
yeah,
shanty.
It's so good. It's actually a really good song. Yeah.
Yeah.
I might go and listen to it after.
They've
this.
Responded. I've not watched the video yet. I can't bear to, but...
Oh, I watched it. They seem quite sweet. They've taken it quite well. Although I did see a while ago, somebody had posted a screenshot of one of them replying to something that they'd posted, just being like, fuck off, mate. But I don't know if that's real or not, because they seemed quite chill and they took it on the chin. So good for them.
I mean, if you wear what they wear, you have to be a bit chill.
Yeah, because you look like a fool. What made me laugh, though, is they on this interview, they were saying... Well, you know, I'm really tall. One of them said, I'm really tall. So what else am I going to wear? Like, no other jeans fit me. Of course, I'm going to wear skinny jeans. But I'm sorry. 10 years ago, if a man Maybe. Was wearing skinny jeans in the street and was like a goth or an emo kid or whatever, you would have your head kicked in.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's just like, that's the normal thing. But whatever. Skinny jeans for all.
Oh, my God. That is so true.
Yeah.
And now I've moved on because I look like a baked potato if I wear skinny jeans these days. So,
yeah, skinny jeans never looked good on me. I did go through that whole, like, MySpace emo kid phase, but I was always, as you know, still a bit of a goth. But, the skinny
still a bit
jeans
of a goth. Still a bit of a goth, wasn't I? I'm a nice girl, just with an edge.
But, I'm too fat for skinny jeans now, so...
Thick.
That's that. No, just fat.
Well, you should get onto this.
Oh my God. I'm really impressed that you came so prepared. Came.
It tastes like pennies.
Yeah, lettuce is shit. I mean, I love salad, but just lettuce by itself is not good.
Lettuce is just something to add to a burger or a sandwich in my life.
Yeah, for a bit of texture.
Yeah, that's a bit of moisture. Not in my mouth. Well, I think I've had a lovely time. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I've also had a lovely time.
That's great. Okay, bye.
That's great. Bye. I don't know what else to add other than just as usual, you know, thank you so much for still listening to our inane ramblings, and sorry if we've offended anybody or mispronounced anything. We didn't mean to, but equally we do not really care that much. So enjoy and speak to you soon.
Bye.
Hear us again soon. Bye.